Test, test, test. Case. Hello, hello. There we go. We good? All right. And stick mic. Stick mic, stick mic.
XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Los Alamitos Race Course, a very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. Another crisp morning, just in fact, talking to Clocker, Tom Mitchell, and kind of catching up on a few things. Haven't seen him in a long time, actually. And last time I think I saw him at Santa Anita. And we were talking about who might be out here. He said there'll be a few Baffert's working this morning. And Phil D'Amato has got a hat full here. And John Sadler. Those are the three big barn operations that are well represented here. And I did discover, I don't know why I didn't see it yesterday, but I did discover a little floorboard heater. So not as, I wisely brought my one jacket. When you book a trip to Arizona and California, you don't necessarily expect you're going to need to pack heavily, right? I do at least, for the first hour or so. But yesterday, by about hour three, it was getting, but this press box that they've got at Los Al, which is really kind of nice. It's a classic kind of glass enclosed addendum to the clubhouse, that overhangs from the fifth floor. It's actually the 4.5 floor, and it is not heated. I mean, I not that I can tell. I don't think there's any actual ductwork or heat. So I can't imagine what in the summer climes if there's I don't see anything. So I don't know. I don't know how they. It's one thing for the little space heater, little floorboard heater that I've got here, but. And that's what Tom came down and said, do you need a heater? Because he knows us tenderfoots that aren't used to this. Well, laughing about the cool temperatures, heading to Remington for next week, next Thursday and Friday. We'll be at Santa Anita Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But speaking of Remington, they got kiboshed last night, and the two final races, the late double, canceled when heavy fog rolled in and nobody could see anything. That was it. So they had to cancel, and they gave the consolation type cancellation payouts and so forth, but Dale sent me a note the other day. He's making arrangements. The potential there for some cold, rainy weather. So we'll worry about that next week when we get there. But I'm looking forward to a return to Remington Park. The weekend preview action, let me get a handle on what we're doing here today, because we got Marcus Hirsch early. Marcus needs to be on first thing, so we actually kind of moved a few things around. Steve Anderson is going to be here. He's somewhere, I think he's up at Santa Anita. So we'll talk to Steve Anderson and get not just the Starlet preview, and of course it's opening day here. A little bit of weather rain threat here for mid-card potentially here at Los Al today. They'll kick things off, but of course we're looking forward to the Starlet tomorrow. Champion of Champions Saturday night, and Steve Anderson is your man when it comes to the quarters. So we'll get Steve to handle the quarter horse weekend action too. It's funny, of these two, Marcus and Steve both do a lot of international handicapping. And Marcus said that he really had not, didn't sign on, essentially. Didn't get tied on this year with the Hong Kong action. But Steve is, and so we'll get some HK IR. Actually, the other way around. Steve Anderson didn't really sign on this year, he said. He just had not, didn't break from the gate. And so Marcus will provide, after we talked to Dick and got Dick's idea, but at least now we've also got the draw from Thursday. So Marcus will provide some HKIR analysis of the four big races. Steve Anderson will bring you Los Al. Scully's off, I think, the next 2 weeks. Scully's got some things on these Fridays, but Scott Shapiro will join us in hour two. Hammer is not going to join me. I thought we were going to add yet another venue to the Hammer and Bick show that pretty much has run all year, right? It's I should really take an inventory of all the places that Hammer turned up as the year went on, including, of course, just Symposium earlier this week. But he's going to stay home. He's got plenty of work to do, actually, this weekend, and that is go through all those. Maybe he'll put I think he put a picture of it actually up on Twitter. Maybe he just sent it to me. But he's got all the books to go through in preparation for the Graded State Committee meeting. He'll fly to Kentucky on Monday and spend a few days in those deep vault, the deep vault rooms that they'll hammer out the Graded State ratings for this coming year. So he's gonna hang at home and do it by phone. All right, we've got a visit hour three, of course, with Nick Tamaro. Get some New York in, and Seth couldn't talk to Seth on Wednesday, so Seth Merrill will join us instead, and Seth will provide, I think, a little. He said, I asked him, I said, did you look at Tampa? Because, you know, that's one of his favorite venues. So he looked at Tampa. A couple of stakes early on the card at Tampa on Saturday. There's actually a couple of stakes today at Fairgrounds with just a couple of little things. There's that kudzu and what's the other one? There's two stakes today at Fairgrounds as we sort of shift from industry topics at Symposium back to some horseplay topics and horse news. We do have some industry-type news, though, to also cover before we launch into the weekend preview, Twin Spires presented. And I think Seth said he's got a couple of races, I think, from Oaklawn that he's looked at. And, of course, opening day there today, too. I didn't look at the Hot Springs. The Hot Springs action. And, of course, yesterday, well, technically, of course, Dave is back in New York, Dave Hill, but it was a Hot Springs heavy hour or so yesterday as we visited with Vic Stauffer and then with Hot Springs native Dave Hill. That was I knew I had to bring that Lake Hamilton game up with him. I didn't expect so much vitriol directed toward Lake Hamilton as provided by Dave. Well, they're going to deal with some rain, it looks like, at Hot Springs. Maybe today you can today looks like they'll get through. Tomorrow though, not so lucky. They're talking an inch of rain over the course of the day, with 60 to 70% probabilities throughout. Huh. And even Sunday, things may linger into Sunday morning and then clear up. So it looks like a little bit of wet weather to start the Oaklawn season. It is a winter. It's a winter venue, and there's nothing you can do, right? Usually it's January, mid-January to early February where Hot Springs deals with kind of difficult weather and the potential for the freezing of the racetrack. So we may talk to Mary Rampolini too, actually, this morning. I may have a window. I wanted to bring you, and maybe we'll do it next week. He can't do it this morning, but reached out to Channing Hill, who he's tied up this morning, but we'll get a chance to talk to Channing and get some reflections, career reflections from him. It's tough. No rider wants to. We've said this so often. No rider wants to have the end of their career dictated to them. That's always true, right? So, we'll get a chance. We'll get a chance to talk to Channing. Let me get the piece of hard news in before we reach for Marcus and. The Jason Service case, the last of the major defendants involved with the widespread indictments, is changing, has been given a change of plea offering, and that'll happen today at 11 in Manhattan in the Southern District. And it imagine that it's part of a plea deal will find him admitting guilt in his case, and I'm just looking for the official charges that doesn't really it had been the circumstance that Service appeared to be the only the only individual that was looking or expecting to take this to a trial, and hadn't seen if there were more specifics from his legal defense team. There is, of course, countless tangential issues that could come to a head from this, and one of the ones mentioned is certainly in the media response and the coverage yesterday included, the still undistributed Saudi Cup monies that have just I are they in escrow? Who knows? But is it there's that winner's share purse that has been withheld, and there really has been no right. I mean, have you seen anything from the Saudi jockey club, as it were, about it? So yeah, they're not famously communicative, but you know, I saw suggestions about, you know, stripping maximum security of his championship. I imagine this will be all bandied about. I don't know how. I'm not sure how you. I don't know. I don't know how you necessarily arbit that topic. So we will see where this goes. There was also a piece of news last night that I circulated. I saw that Dave Greinke had reported, and Gander, the big, handsome white horse that was just such a pleasure, passed at 26 at Mill Creek, and just, you know, old age, and thoughts to everybody, the of course, the Terranovas and the Gatsis family. He was so much fun, and a lot of nice quotes. Just seeing a story here. We certainly talked about him many, many times, and I want to just go to. I didn't. I'm a little hamstrung when it comes to the ability to. I can't bring my little printer with me anymore, but so I don't have. You know, I don't have things like. You know, my result charts and so forth. I did get some PPs printed in before I left Arizona. You know, won the Meadowlands Cup, the Grade Two, earlier in his career. You know, the New York bred stakes like the Evan Shipman, and you know, faced, you know, all the top horses of his generation, and in a lot of, you know, open company Grade One efforts. It's third to Lemon Drop Kid and Barons in the Woodward in 2000. I mean, any regular New York race goer, and you didn't have to be just in New York. I mean, he campaigned, you know, wherever there were important races. You know, he ran in Florida, ran, you know, Gulfstream. In fact, ran in the 2001 Don that was won by Captain Steve. He was behind Albert the Great. Pretty well behind, but a lot of board hits in open company, and just, you know, this is the kind of horse when you become a fan of the game, this is the kind of horse that you really enjoy, because he had, you know, such an extended stay on the racetrack. I mean, I can't remember if he debuted as a 2-year-old, but I think he did, and Son of Cormorant, and bred by Angela Rugnetta, and he was a $50,000 purchase as a 2-year-old, OBS March, and went on to win $1.8 million. But it wasn't the 15 wins and 60 starts and 10 seconds and 9/3. But it's the longevity that made him so popular and so much fun, and you know, being a big white horse, that always helps, right? That everybody loves a big white horse. And thanks to the Magic City Classic, thank you, Alex Barkoff, letting me know what the other stake was at Fairgrounds today. All right. Well, there's just a couple of news items. Let's get going, and we're gonna get going to start with Marcus because there's a lot to do with him, and he's got to be done by 10 o'clock Eastern. Anxious to hear what Marcus is, and always far flung when we get a chance to talk to Marcus. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Coming to you from Los Alamitos.
Oh my God! Wow, lucky you.
Right?
Who does the morning line there?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know.
I don't either.
I can find out.
It's all right.
I will. I'll ask around.
Have you been?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Several years. Every. You know what I do? Coming on the back end of the symposium, it's always Starlet and Futurity weekend, one or the other, or sometimes both even. And so I always come after symposium and spend Thursday, Friday here. And not only that, I've even taken an interest in the big money quarter horse events, the Champion of Champions. I can't go this Saturday night, but Sunday is the Futurity, one of the Futurities. They got a $2 million Futurity. So Steve Anderson will report on that. We talked about this during the week, Marcus. It's amazing here. They have the afternoon session, like a race like the Starlet, and then everybody clears out, and a couple of hours later, the night session starts, and it's a whole different audience, whole different set of patrons. It's really interesting.
I'm just happy to hear that there are patrons at a racetrack.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there's a bunch of racetracks to cover with you, and that includes right fairgrounds with a big, big Louisiana weekend. There's actually a couple of stakes today that I want you to talk about, but we'll do Champions Day, and I'm anxious to hear some HKIR tabs, and then our usual game plan action.
Okay. Where do you want to go first?
Let's start domestically, and let's go down to New Orleans and catch up. And as we discussed at the beginning of the meet a couple of weeks ago, a lot of reliance on the Lobreds. And here's the big card.
Yeah, boy, things have been a struggle recently with no turf. Kentucky people are still getting settled. Yesterday's card was a real downer until Michael Stidham sent out a nice looking Godolphin, first timer Phileas Fogg, a 2-year-old who won a dirt route race, got a 78 buyer, got an easy lead, but made the most of it, was very fit and looked good doing it. But the day-to-day product has been rough. I feel bad for the racing office there. It must be a real struggle. I looked at the Thursday card they drew already next Thursday and was really getting depressed after there were 5 in the opener and 6 in the second. But that card actually came up pretty good. So hopefully things are going to pick up. We'll see about the turf. I haven't asked for an update on that in a couple of weeks because they had said late December at the earliest. Obviously that affects Louisiana Champions Day, which always had 2 turf races, one for older males, one for older females. So there's no turf races on the Champions Day card, no quarter horse races, so it's just a 9-race program.
I've got no problem with 9-race programs.
same, absolutely. Although, I mean, the races usually came up pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So,
Will they make those up? Will they slap those into January, maybe?
I have no idea. They have plenty of races in those divisions if they're able to use the turf. And I'm guessing if and when they get back on it, they're not going to be doing anything extra.
Right.
No.
That's fair. Let me touch on today's action first, Marcus, if you don't mind. There is that little 2-year-old state-bred race, the Kudzu. It's just a little $25,000
something.
Alabama breds, which...
I know nothing.
It is fun, though.
Zip. I mean, I haven't seen any of these horses work. None of them have raced. Their works are slow, clueless.
It's a funny little thing. And some of the stallions that are just going to be completely new, it'll be fun to watch at the very least. And of course, this harkens back. We should pull up Larry Colmus, who of course called the races at Birmingham Racecourse.
Yeah, the heyday of Alabama racing. This might be the entire full crop from 2020.
Very funny. Then the Magic City, though, Magic City Classic. That's a nice field. That's a nice enough field.
They should name this the Buggin' Out, shouldn't they? The horse that won it like 5 times in a row. I mean, come on.
I love that.
Yeah, I had no strong opinions here. I mean, these are claiming horses. Anyway, I think, who did I pick? I think I picked, did I go for last year's winner or did I go against him?
Fired Up Tiger. Yep, Fired Up Tiger. This is a 2-race win streak, Louisiana Downs and Delta.
Oh, yeah, you know, I made these picks on Monday or Sunday. There was a big speed bias last week and I wondered if it would continue. So I was like trying to mix in some inside speed horses. That didn't really persist through yesterday. It was like 3 front end winners and 4 off the pace winners. Much more, it really evened out. The track seemed slower and different. So yeah, disregard that selection. It's a pace based thing. Maybe he'll still lead all the way, but not, you know, he's probably going to get hooked by Foolish Steve. And without a help from a bias, he'll probably be in trouble at 2 Mikes, and Doc G is going to be the one closing if they go too fast. Yeah, there you go. Another Magic City Classic will soon be in the book.
Let's turn to Saturday and the more compelling card. And
I think there are a lot of pretty good horses in this card.
I agree,
for sure. I like these races.
Start, you know what, let's run through, start with the juvenile.
The juvenile's the first. You got a big favorite here. I don't like the line on this race. Tumba Roomba, he's listed at 5-2. He's going to be way shorter than that, in my opinion. Off an 86 buyer. He won one of those restricted maiden races at Churchill for horses that sold for 50,000 or less, and X stallion stud fee, whatever. I mean, 13 and a quarter length. He won by a head, but it was more than 13 lengths back to third. It was a legitimately fast race. I tried to beat him with this horse, Not On Herb, who I think is better than his numbers. He kind of caught the eye at Delta in his debut and then followed up with a nice win in the prep for this, the Peluso, on November 19th. I think he might have more to give, a little home field advantage. You know, I think there'll be a bigger spread between those two than 5-2 to 7-2.
Group of 7 in the
shoot. Yeah, this horse half full for that ran at Delta. He's very fast. He might be fast enough to hook that horse, Tumba Roomba. I thought Not On Herb could have a really good trip right in behind.
Eduardo.
How about the jockey on late September?
Late September. Let's the Rodriguez.
J.L. Rodriguez.
Yes.
You know who that is?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's tied for leading rider at Fairgrounds.
11 wins.
No, I had no idea who it was. I'm writing about him this morning. He's a Venezuelan. His dad was a pretty famous jockey with the same name, who's an exercise rider for Michelle Lovell. And he just came to the U.S. in late summer. He rode like 3 at a couple at Louisiana Downs and 10 at Delta. And now is tied for leading rider at Fairgrounds. Pretty amazing story for Jose Luis Rodriguez.
How about that? Who's got his book?
An agent you've never heard of named Jonathan Corey, K-O-U-R-Y.
Huh.
Camejo is a Venezuelan, the trainer, who does really well at Fairgrounds and other places.
Yeah.
I think that he was instrumental in making this happen.
Well, and of course, nothing can happen either in Louisville or in Virginia or at Fairgrounds that doesn't somehow go through Michelle Lovell. She is literally like the middle portion of an hourglass. Every grain of sand passes through Michelle Lovell.
Well, this guy is seems like a pretty good rider. He looks very confident out there.
I guess so.
I think his business is going to be good.
I love it. All right, so there we go. Now you know.
The Lassie is one of the horses I like best on this card. Nora G, number two. She's 3-1 on the line. I'm hoping for a little more than that. Trish West, a little known trainer who...
I had her on.
You did?
You bet. When she won the two...
You got her whole story.
We did. It
you
was
know her
fat.
Dad worked for GE in Cincinnati?
Well, that I didn't know. We didn't get to that. How did you dig that up?
Oh, I talked to her for quite a while. I was just interested.
It was so much fun to talk to her. And
yeah, she seemed great. Lifetime race tracker, and yet not destroyed by it.
Well, she won the stake on opening day, and this horse with the maiden win, and she's 3-5 starting the meet with a second.
Well, she lost yesterday.
Did she?
So she's three for six.
Yeah. Okay.
This horse was, I thought, a pretty grand looking horse. It's a Malibu Moonmare who hasn't thrown anything yet, but you know, still a Malibu Moonmare for a Louisiana bred.
Yep.
She's big and strong. She broke bad. But didn't one of those crazy rush-ups, she just gathered herself pretty quickly and comfortably and was much the best in that race. Looking like, I've seen so many times over the years, you know, a 2-year-old win first time out, first week of the meet and come back and run really well on Champions Day. I just think that she might have a little more substance to her than a horse like the favorite Free Drop Maddie, who no doubt was impressive winning on the front end in the November 18th prep for this race. I preferred Nora G. She does have an inside draw, but she looked like she was pretty professional after her poor break and maybe can handle a little bit more tricky trip.
Well, and Free Drop Maddie, the obvious the obvious favorite, 8-5, 3-1 on Nora G. And the nice thing about Nora G's performance that we talked about with West was wasn't a runoff, a horse that...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it was a horse that going 5.5 that, you know, ran like added distance was going to be just fine. So
sure, she said they thought this was going to be a two-turn
exactly,
horse.
Exactly, exactly.
So for her to run, win at 5.5, 6 should be even better.
There you go. All right, that's the Lassie, and feels like the top two. That Louisiana Liberty is probably the next one. Steve Flint, who's looking to get his first win. A Whispering Oaks.
Maybe. What about Tenza Candy? She beat Free Drop Maddie at Delta.
Yeah.
7-8. She's cutting back and on the rail. I don't love all that. I don't. I mean, I'm just playing Nora G. That's all.
I hear you. All right.
Win bet.
So this feels like a nice little group of 2-year-old Labrad fillies. Gets us to the ladies' sprint and going 6. And few familiar names, and you mentioned Camejo earlier. Here's Overcharged.
Yeah, Whoopcar is going to scratch.
Whoopcar.
Calhoun said, so that's a 5-horse field. Another line I do not care for. I mean, this line is just not right. It's going to be a big gap between Overcharged and Free Like a Girl. Overcharged is going to be heavy odds on favorite and is going to win. So there you go.
All right. Chazzy Palmier, who we also talked to with Free Like a Girl. And
wow, that's a nice horse. I mean, she ran against Society. She likes this small track. She's done a lot of different things.
Yep.
I just think she's in a bad spot. I mean, Overcharged is like a real horse, you know. The horse she beat last year in this race, Scylla, that's a graded stakes winner, you know. And this horse was just, she won despite needing a race, first time back from a long break last time. And I expect her to move forward. And she's going to get a good trip.
Camejo's also got one for Miss Evelyn, Spirited Beauty on the outside.
Yeah, to make 6. There you go.
All right, gets us to the... to a starter, I'm sure some people who play multis, you got an opinion in the starter race?
I mean, I'm trying to remember. You got to understand, day after, with all the stuff that happened since I did these.
No, of course.
No, I have nothing interesting in there. I picked the favorite, Alterana.
Okay. All right. It's a big field, and I'll tell you on Figs, and it's a well balanced group.
Yeah, I think Alteron will be shorter than 4-1. I don't mess with Keith Charles when he's got a live looking horse. I'll tell you that.
All right, gets us into the distaff and the mile and a 16th.
Trish West.
There she is again. There she is again.
I like her. I like the horse again. I like her to win again.
AG Charlotte.
Yeah, AG Charlotte. She's 3-1. Maybe could be a bigger price than that. I think that Winning Romance, the likely favorite, is going to take pace pressure again. I think she's naturally like a miler. And just this little bit of extra distance, the long stretch, I think it saps her stamina just a bit. I think she's vulnerable. Fort Polk beat her last year in this race. She had a perfect trip last time. I can't have her after she couldn't do anything with that. But AG Charlotte is a 3-year-old who won her debut going short, has been steadily ascended, I would say, through most of her career, and put together her best race, albeit with a good setup. She can stick closer to the pace than she did in that race, and I just think she runs them down again.
Well, and speaking of pace, it does look like there's a little bit of lick in here, whether it's Winning Romance for Brett Calhoun.
Agree.
Ludi Mo, the Mo Tom on the rail. And then, you know, there's a funny horse in here, that Cheapskate Diva.
She's going to the front.
She always goes to the front. And last time she you know, was lucky yeah. She didn't have wings on. She would have flown away.
Yes. She may be a little better rated than that, but I don't trust her. The one big dirt race was she got loose at Louisiana Downs on a slow pace in a short field. I question the quality there. Might be better turf horse in the end.
Well, that's you know, I understand there's going to be horses like this.
Every day there are horses like that. You can tell which races were originally metric because people are running these horses that they had pointed to these races
exactly.
Anyway, and even though it's the wrong surface.
Exactly. That takes us to the eighth and the late double here, which is the classic. And this group, a little interesting and some real quality here. And Brett Calhoun... have you talked to Brett? You know, one thing I've forgotten to do
yes.
since the storm. How his place down by Fort Myers on Sanibel fared.
I had no idea about that. I didn't know he had a place.
Yeah,
there. I fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
He's still alive, or he was yesterday. I can tell
well,
you that.
And also our friends when we were there in April. I've got to get in touch with everybody. I've been completely remiss about that.
We were gallivanting around the West Coast. Well, time for your friends.
Come on now. Easy.
We got a big quadrant here.
Who
Touch Upon
on?
A Star.
Yeah?
He's in this race. This is a good horse. He's in this race in the sprint. I actually texted with Jake Delhomme this morning. Will not decide until scratch time. I think they're leaning toward this race. I actually like him better here than there, and I picked him to win, to beat who
wow.
took the money. It's going to be a big favorite.
Wow.
I know that Highland Creek has speed, but I think this horse might be faster. If he gets a lead and the track is favoring speed a little bit, I think he'll stretch out pretty nicely. I think he might get a mile and an eighth well. Really easy win, less out of Delta. He just bounced a little in his lone stakes. Try 21 1/4 length maiden win over 7/8. That's pretty hard to do. I know who was in the race. It was not anything. He's done nothing wrong. He had a nice breather. His Delta win was just, he was just galloping. Got a nice platform to run the best race of his life. Who took the money is obviously formidable. I do think that ultimately that's a better turf horse. He handled the slop decently last time with a good pace in front of him. He's obviously the most likely winner. I tried to beat him. Camejo Rodriguez, Behemoth Star, don't overlook them too. That horse has got some upside. Expect him to improve, and he could be competitive as well.
How about at 8-1? How about Balling on a Budget, just claimed by George Messina and Michael Lee, Brad Cox, Giroux
yeah.
on board. What's wrong with him?
He's not good enough. I mean, if he moves up. But I mean, he's just a cut below unless he just takes a big leap forward. And I know he could.
One thing that's likable with Touch Upon a Star on the stretch out and Highland Creek attending the pace as well, this is a horse that's a true router. I mean, at the very least, this is, to me, seems like an interesting, you know, clunk up type underneath.
Well, there you go.
That's my thought. And it's second off the layoff. He had been, Michelle, they took this horse from Michelle for 20.
There you go, right in the middle of the hourglass. Yeah.
That gets us to that sprint that, as you mentioned, Touch Upon a Star cross entered, but it's a big field anyway if he comes out.
It's full field, 14 runners, absolutely packed with pace horses. I mean, I do not see how they don't go flying in this race. Sure, I get it. Everyone reads the form, you know, and people don't want to get into speed duel, but there are just too many horses here who want to be in front. And I just think they're going to go really fast. I think the race could easily fall apart. The horse that won the prep should be in the second flight, so he might not be hurt too much. Brian Iron Mike, he's a progressive three-year-old, came off the rail nicely in the slop last time for a career best. I don't know if he has much latitude to improve on the day. I'm just playing closers. I think I took Unified Report on top. I think he hated the slop last time. That's the only thing I could put it down to, because he didn't run a step and he had been in good form before. His turf races in Kentucky were fine. Maybe he's a turf horse. I just think he's going to be okay on dirt. He won the Champion Stage Juvenile last year over this track. I look for a big bounce back effort from him, hopefully at a good price. And then this horse on the rail, Jackson.
Yep.
He's been a route horse most of his life, but I know it was 7/8 at Evangeline and lesser company, but he cut back to good effect there and he made the front pretty early. I think that if they do go really fast, he's got a good work pattern. And he's unexposed in sprints, even though he's 21 times started 5-year-old. I gave him a little chance too.
I agree. He's 15-1. Marcelino Pedroza, who's familiar with him, going back to last year, and his 1 3-quarter try was a win. And he's in the money 5/7 at Fairgrounds. There's a lot to like about Jaxman.
Agreed.
Especially the price. Well, there's your big Louisiana Champions Day, and not so bad. Marcus, let's get the other game plan action from you.
Okay. I was asking about the Los Alamitos line, because in the Starlet, Blessed Touch is listed at 5-1. I thought she would be considerably shorter than that.
Hmm.
I still think she will be. I do think that Faiza will be favored, but I was hoping for a little more than 7-5, because I think she's just going to win. I know she only got a 74 buyer first out, whatever. She galloped. She had plenty of sprint speed, but I think she's a route horse. Her last two works are on video. She was behind another horse on the 26th, broke off a couple lengths behind, finished well, galloped out very strong. December 2nd, they started her off like 10 lengths behind, and she did well with that too. I think she's just better than these horses, and it's going to sit off a fast pace and win.
I will not argue. I know you addressed the grade one status of it, but it's a nice enough field. I mean,
yeah, it's a good one. Other than,
well, it is that time of year, but
it's a little late to be honest for that time of year. I think it's become normalized that as things kind of get watered down more and more. I mean, I don't know.
I hear it.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. But I will say that when we look back on this race, between Blessed Touch and...
Oh, there have been good horses in it. That's why it's surprising.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of, main winners.
Yeah, Do It in the Hard Way, Faiza, and Blessed Touch, and... We'll see about the McCarthy. I mean, it's got to get faster, but...
Horse is okay.
Seems
I didn't
okay.
like the chandelier much. They didn't have her last work on video. I saw her work in company with a 2-year-old turf horse of his that won nicely. I can't remember her name. I almost said it. Anyway, she seems okay. She's another horse who could benefit from a fast pace. I just thought that on talent, Faiza was superior.
There you go. All right.
Oakmont, the mistletoe.
There you go. Mistletoe.
Looks like it could rain. Coach liked it there wet last year. She breaks. She could make she could make a lead from the rail. And you got Lay Da Vida for Ignacio Correas. She almost had to win that last race. It was not a compelling field. She ran fine. Adidia is the good older female dirt horse in that barn. She hasn't worked since September, but I'm trying to beat her, Lay Da Vida. I like Ice Orchid, 3-year-old who did well at Oaklawn last year. She was, a progressive every race. Ran into Secret Oath, who was very much in form in the Honeybee. Got stomped, took the summer off. Terrible trip at Churchill. No pace. She managed to win at Keeneland. And then she didn't have a great trip. She was in a little tight a couple times. Cutting back to a one-turn mile in the Chuluki, won by Churchill Downs, loving She Can't Sing. I think this is a two-turn horse, more than one turn, who can stay close to whatever pace it is. I think she might not mind it at all if it's wet. I look for her to run a career best and be very competitive and offer value.
Well, we always like to see Nacho do well and getting going early at Oaklawn. Gets us to the Wait a Wild. I haven't looked at Gulfstream yet at all.
Yeah, I like 2-year-old turf races, so I looked at both of those. And I do think sometimes in slower paced races on turf, the buyer figures can not tell the whole story. I thought that might be the case in this race, Juniper Marshmallow, 8-1 on the morning line. She was 5-1 first out. I read for Todd. I could bet a little, but it doesn't have a figure, and there are some fast horses in this race. I think Delight coming out of the Breeders' Cup will be the favorite. I don't want her. I mean, she's okay. She got an easy lead. Knock Your Socks Off came back on dirt, the horse that she beat in the Jessamine, and ran pretty well at Churchill. She's fine, but I want a better price here. Juniper Marshmallow, she did not have the best of trips. She was a little stop and start while stuck down inside, couldn't quite get through. And Saez was waiting for the rail to open up. He finally abandoned that at the 3/16th pole when it became apparent it was not happening for him. Came way out to the sixth path. And this horse, what impressed me most was the instant turn of foot she had once she was clear. I do think she was kind of green. As soon as she hit the front, she changed leads to the wrong leg again. And I think she was more superior than the bare margin of victory there. The horse that she beat came back to win. I think it's meaningful that Pletcher throws her right into the stakes competition. I think she's got a lot of improvement in her. Her December 3rd work was available on video online, and I thought she worked pretty good on dirt, at least suggesting she's holding her form. At the price, I'm trying Juniper Marshmallow in the Wait a Wild.
8-1, the 9 horse, for everybody taking notes, Juniper Marshmallow, the 9 horse. You get Errat Ortiz Jr. for that 8-1 in the Wait a Wild, 2-year-old fillies, about 7.5 furlongs on turf, because we never know exactly where the rail placement is down there, and
what a thing. What a world we live in.
It could be 7, it could be a mile and a 16th.
Maybe by the time we get to the year 1900, we'll have this figured out.
I knew you wouldn't mind me going in that direction.
Timing is hard.
Oh, boy. There's not too much about the game that's based on timing, is there?
Nope. Now, in Hong Kong, you don't have any issues
no,
like that.
No, different story. Different story. Let me get you, because Dick was with us Wednesday live at Symposium, and he had a couple of picks, and I'll have his full analysis to put up tomorrow, or maybe I'll even do it tonight.
Well, he's going to have a lot deeper dive in this than I do. I probably shouldn't even say anything.
I wish I
could have gone. I mean, I could have gone, but I had some concerns about quarantine and being stuck there for years, so took a pass
for years.
These are really good races. The Japanese horses are excellent. Golden 60, absolute superstar. Romantic Warrior in the Cup, the Hong Kong horse, He's awesome. Should be excellent racing. I recommend staying up all night and watching this.
Well, and I'm just digging around here for the where's the, because I had not seen on Wednesday when we were together. You know, they hadn't drawn yet the barrier.
Yeah.
Draw.
What do you want to know? I got it all up right.
Well,
here.
give everybody, if you don't mind, and here I can go to HKJC because usually it's right at the international section, Marcus, and at the Forum, and I'm.
I don't do website management, Steve. I can't speak to that.
Well, you and Mary do everything. It's like there's nobody else working there but you and Mary.
No. We have plenty of excellent employees.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm a fanboy when it comes to Golden 60, who drew very well in post four for the mile. He's going to be a short price, and I believe he will just win the race.
Here we go. Now I got it. All right. I'm catching up to you. And there is, there we go. Beautiful. Thank you. Declan Schuster's analysis, of course, available as well for everybody at the.
Yeah, they dig deep. You know, our relationship with HKJC has changed slightly this year, and I'm not doing nearly as much as I have the last few. And so I just haven't been as attuned to the product. I mean, I glance at the cards on Sunday, see if there's anything I need to write about, but I'm not going to lie. That's as much, you know, analysis as I've done. I mean, I took a look at these races to some extent, but not nearly as much as I have when I've been there. But I do know that Golden 60 is a good horse.
Well, and for those, you know, for those that love following the horses that come for Breeders' Cup, things actually get started 1:10 a.m. in terms of the internationals, 1:10 a.m. Eastern. So 12:10 a.m. Central and 10:10 Pacific, and I'm on the West Coast, so it'll be easy.
I will recommend DRF Bets as a place to wager on these races. I guess I don't talk about this that much. I do use that regularly. I think it's a fine interface. I like the product. Ticketmaker, if you're a multi-race player,
sure.
Playing negative regression grids, can't beat it because you can make as many plays as you want, plug it directly into your account, not have to punch all the tickets, which is absolutely fabulous. And we are a company that actually likes and supports horse racing itself. So if you bet with us, you're supporting the sport.
Well, and a couple of horses to mention, and they came up the other day, but in the Vaz at 1:10, Stone Age. In fact, the Breeders' Cup horses bookend this because Broom is on the post position six, is going to wear the one.
Right.
And,
because Stone Age is a three-year-old, and they put the horses that get weight because of age or sex down at the bottom.
And Stone Age did draw the one. And so the 10 horse for the O'Brien. And so there's a couple that people are very familiar with.
I think this race is pretty open. Stone Age was vastly improved at the Breeders' Cup, although he had showed plenty of raw ability early in his career. I don't trust him coming back again on another trip. Maybe, but the local horses... They don't do much for me. Glory Vaz is a two-time winner of this race. He is older. He's very lightly raced this year. He ran poorly in Dubai after winning in Hong Kong again. He may be over the top, but he may not. These other Europeans, I don't see it from Botanique. I don't get that. But Mendocino, I think, is going to have a chance. He was 12th in the arc, but he's a German horse who's pretty damn good. Might be overlooked.
The sprint goes at 1:50, and there happens to be an American-bred runner in here that Gendarme is a Kitten's Joy.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, out of a Japanese.
Even noticed that.
Yeah, out of a Japanese mare, 7-year-old.
Ray's Estencia cutting back appealed to me a little bit. She drew the one hole. That's going to be big trouble. I have no opinion. This race is a complete crapshoot. The Hong Kong sprinters, you know, it's kind of like American sprinters. They used to be absolute stars. The division has fallen on hard times. These horses take turns beating each other. Lucky Sway Ness won the prep,
right.
Getting a little bit of weight. I mean, it's hard for me to really think that he's going to necessarily run back to that at all. The last year's race was marred by a spill where half the field was taken out. So you have to take the form from a year ago with a grain of salt. I don't know what to make of it.
Then there's a handicap, the Gym and Tonic, and
That divides the stakes. And exactly. Then you go on to the mile and
3 a.m. for the mile, and of course Golden 60.
Okay, I'll give you my little spiel on him. This horse, I don't think he was going to win going 2,000 meters over soft ground last year, but he never should have lost his other race. They just got in the habit of yanking him back to last for no good reason. It was driving me insane. They were giving him an extra handicap. They let him run his race the last two times last year, and he finished just as well from up closer. Some people thought that he was over the hill, that he'd lost a step. He had not, and he had definitely has not on the basis of his first start this season. California Spangle, who is in this race, he's an excellent horse, one of the best horses last season in the four-year-old division, which is like our three-year-olds, and he progressed. He had two starts going into the Jockey Club Mile, got 5 pounds, got the easiest lead imaginable, and Golden 60 still ran her down to win by a neck at less than 100%. They're not going to let this horse fall too far behind. He's won this race two times in a row. Like the Japanese horse Salios, he crushed him in this race before. Schnellmeister hasn't really come on since showing a ton of potential last year or late last year, earlier this year. I don't see anyone who can beat him.
That gets us to the Cup. And again, in terms of familiarity, Order of Australia, who feels like a horse, Marcus, that's just we're going to see for years and years. It just shows
up. The interesting thing is they're going back to 2000, which seems like kind of a desperate act to me. He started his career running longer, but it was only when he got cut back that he really started taking off. It's great that O'Brien and Coolmore support all these international races, and they send some good horses here. I give him no chance in this race, actually.
He's 30 to 1.
The top-rated horse is Pantalassa, who is a pure speed horse, a Japanese horse. He dead-heated with Lord North and the Dubai Turf in March. He's got some excellent Japanese form, too. He ran off to, like, almost a 20-length lead in his last race. Got nailed on the wire. Jack Dior was in that race, too. He was closing, but I think finished fourth. He's never won a Group 1. He may be a little in over his head. Dan and the Kid stretches out from a mile. Got excellent form in a mile. I like this horse, the three-year-old Geoglyph, at a little bit of a price. He won a Group 1 earlier this year in Japan over one of the best horses in Japan. Granted, he got a better trip. I think that he was prepping last time when he had a very modest run in Japan. He might have a chance, but, there is a big home field advantage in Hong Kong. Just the nature of the way the races are run is pretty specific and particular. And Romantic Warrior is really, really good. The one race he lost, he had absolutely no chance. He had a wide draw, was caught out in no man's land, took a lot of air while losing a ton of ground. Completely excusable, undefeated otherwise, bested California Spangle twice in the four-year-old Classic Series. Had a comeback race that was a little bit delayed this year because I think he got sick. He was clearly not at his best and still won comfortably over far lesser competition, granted, going 2,000 meters. But he should improve, and with a home field advantage, I think he might get it done.
Just looking up and down for a sort of an up-close type at a decent price, and also considering some rider elements. That Tourbillon Diamond, 15 to 1. It hits a lot of boards.
For one thing, he's got the 12. The race starts almost on the turn.
Right.
Outside draws are very negative, and he needs all the help he can get because he's not good enough.
Fair enough. That's why he's 15 to 1. You do get the services of Hugh Bowman in here and the Australian. And, all right, Geoglyph, I see. 15 to 1 on Geoglyph. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Pantalassa is the horse that's going to, he and Romantic Warrior ought to be the favorites.
Yeah, well, they're 4 to 1 and 9 to 5, respectively. And that Jack Dor looks like he's tailing off to me, but I he's also been facing... serious competition.
I thought he ran fine last time, but I think it just exposed him as being a length too slow.
Yeah. He did beat Panthalossa, two back.
Yeah, and I will say that he was one of the horses that was closer to the front in that race, where the winner came from farther behind, against the runoff Panthalossa. I wonder what sort of strategy they're going to try to employ. I thought they went too far in the direction of trying to steal the race last time. It just was a little intemperate. I wonder if they rate him a little bit more. He's obviously very good. We'll see what happens. It should be a fabulous race, though.
There you go. There is your lineup for the Hong Kong International Races and the Vaz, 1:10 a.m. Eastern Time, 1:50 for the sprint, then a intermezzo, and then back to the mile, 3 a.m., and the cup, 3:40 a.m. HKIR, action on the DRF game plan and fairgrounds, the Louisiana Champions Day. And I just heard from Marcus, I just heard from Chad Schexnader. He says that they plan to run those two turf races January 7th.
Okay. Champions
Day turf.
Mark it down on your calendar.
And he brings up a good point that the horses that run tomorrow would be eligible, really, to run back in that.
Absolutely.
Right? Outstanding. DRF Hirsch, everybody, and that's a lot of information to digest.
I got plenty more. I can give you another half hour. I got the Jim Edgar Futurity at Hawthorne. What else? That's about it. All right.
No,
pleasure, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Marcus. Marcus Hirsch, everybody. DRF Hirsch, who is just terrific and knew we would get all of that in. We're going to take first of two breaks, and when we come back, another font of information and another guy that just tromps backstretches all over the place, has an interest in all kinds of racing. The Cheltenham kid, Steve Anderson, is going to join us next. We'll get some quarter horse because it's a big weekend right here in Cyprus. Catella Avenue may have to make a... I was waiting to go to the Catella Deli, which is being remodeled, it looks like. And I was expecting Hammer today. So we were going to make our usual annual Catella. I did go to Langer's yesterday. On behalf of Jay Privman. Jay's out of town, too. I'm not going to see Jay. I am going to see Jay Hubby, though. Looking forward to that. As Hammer mentioned, we're going to see John Parada and Maggie this weekend, which is fun. They're over here. They're on their West Coast side of things. I got an invitation I couldn't say no to for Sunday to go to SoFi Stadium. I'm here. Isn't that just after yesterday mentioning I'd never been to Hollywood Park, and now I'm going to get a chance to go to Hollywood Park, except it's going to be SoFi Stadium for the Sunday night game, the Dolphins in town. I told Chuck I had an extra ticket. I was offered two tickets, and I'll report in detail on it looks spectacular. The place looks ridiculous, actually. That SoFi Stadium. So, kind of looking forward to that on Sunday night. So I've got a full dance card. Racing tomorrow. Gonna get a chance to see John and Maggie on Saturday afterward. I can't stay for the Champion of Champions. I got lots to do. Usually, a lot of times, I'm the racing, but there's not a lot of social engagement. I don't have tons of people out here that, I know casually. Got to get a Dalray visit in. And for those that are wondering, yes, we've been to Fossilman's. We're 2 for 2. Upon arrival, Wednesday. And Wednesday night, and then yesterday. Today I'll make 3 for 3. Back after this, Steve Anderson.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program. the best in North America, but we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Sirius XM Sports presents...
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews.